pray over the offering.
We're so glad that you're with us this morning. Hey, a couple of things that you need to know about. And before I talk about those things, we're going to dismiss the kids. I always forget to do that. So if you're one of our elementary age kids, you are dismissed now to the back of the room to be able to go on back to your classroom and have your time and your lesson back there. So if you're new, our elementary age meet right upstairs. So if you have a kid, you're like, where are they going? They meet right upstairs in a classroom that's provided for them during the sermon each week. So they're heading up that way. A couple announcements that you need to know about. First thing is next Sunday, right after church, those that volunteer either on mainly on our setup team, right, John? Not tech as well, right? But our setup team are having a quick meeting following service. If you're on that team that plays a part in setting up on Sunday morning and tearing down, you need to try to make it for that meeting. It won't keep you long. It'll be just a few minutes right after our service next Sunday. Also, maybe you're not on that team yet and you're interested in what that entails and what that looks like. By coming to that meeting doesn't mean you're signed up. It just means you're maybe interested in hearing what it's all about. The beautiful thing is that we have a group that usually most only serve one Sunday a month. So it's not a weekly thing. It's, many hands make light work. So we do a rotation. So if you're interested in what it means to be a part of our setup crew, need you here next Sunday right after church. You'll have a quick informational meeting that you need to be a part of. Also, our movie night. We announced this last week. This week we're announcing the movie that we're showing. We're going to show the new Disney's Aladdin movie. We're going to be showing that right outside here on November 2nd, that Saturday evening. We strategically picked that Saturday because LSU has a bye, all right? We'll be showing that game on November 2nd. We'll start the movie at 7 p.m. Here's what I need for our Grace Pointers. We need some help that night. Here's the beautiful thing. You come and you don't have a Grace Point t-shirt yet, you will get one. And you'll get a nice Grace Point green t-shirt and you can help serve. We'll just need people there. No matter what your ability is, maybe you're like, man, I can't lift or carry or do anything. That's okay. You can come and you can, once people come in, you can meet them and get their information. We do drawings for that, and we need help. So make sure you make plans to at least be at the movie night. And if you can, help serve at it. We could use your help that evening. And then one more announcement that I wanted to mention tonight, or every Sunday night at 5 p.m., our youth meet here for their 6th through 12th grade, have their own little group that connect on Sunday nights. And tonight's a pretty special night. They're going to be doing some music and worship and a Bible study, and it's just going to be a fun night. But tonight, only tonight, still starts at 5, but it will be ending at 6 instead of 6:30. So parents, you need to make note of that, that tonight it's only an hour, not an hour and a half. So maybe if you're a student, man, tonight would be an awesome night to come check it out for the first time. So we'd love to have you here tonight at 5, right here in this space. So that's the announcements. I know Ricky just prayed, but as we transition into the sermon this morning, I want to go ahead and pray because, for one, I want to ask the Lord just to be with my voice. I'm struggling this morning. You can kind of probably hear it a little bit. Kind of got that. Cassie's like, man, you sound sexy, right? No, raspiness. I cough up something, and she's like, never mind, scratch that. Let's pray, and we'll just ask the Lord to be with our sermon this morning. Lord God, we love you. We're so thankful for our time to gather here. Lord, I'm thankful for every person that's walked into this space, whether it's their first time or whether they've been coming for a long time now. God, you have each of us here for a reason this morning. God, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts and prepare our minds. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, it wouldn't be about me, but God, I pray that you'd just be with me as I speak. Pray that you'd give me the ability to convey the message that you've placed on my heart. Lord, as we open your word, we read from it, we look at it, we apply it to our lives. God, we love you so much. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the Gospel of John. You know, if you have a Bible, that's great. If not, there are some around your seats. If not, there's also we're going to also have the text on the screen here in just a moment when we get there. But the Gospel of John, so New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the fourth gospel. We'll be there in chapter 1 here in just a moment. But today we are finishing up our series on who is your one, or who's your one. And for five, this is our fifth Sunday, but so for five Sundays, we've been talking about this, who's your one. And we've prayed and we've encouraged you to identify one person in your life. One person in your life that you would commit to start praying for and start actively pursuing with spiritual conversations. Maybe someone in your life that is far from the Lord, or maybe it's someone in your life that at one point had a relationship with the Lord, but has just kind of pulled away from that, have kind of drawn away from that. And the Lord has put that person on your heart that you will commit to pray for, and you will commit to actively pursue spiritual conversations with the hopes of being able to see that person repent of their sin and turn towards a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our desire. And here's the thing, and I know I mentioned this last Sunday, but we hope that this is just not a five-week thing and we're, okay, we got 5 weeks in, we've prayed for them, we've done this for 5 weeks, now let's move on to the next thing. Because here's the thing I want to encourage you. Man, this should be something, if we know Jesus as our Savior, this should be something that drives us. That God has placed us strategically in places that He wants the gospel known. Let me tell you something. You will interact with people that myself and other Christians may never have the chance to interact and be a part of. You will meet and you know people that I will never meet and I will never have a conversation with, but you will. And that's our prayer today, that you have identified that one person in your life. Because here's the thing, in the grand scheme of things, we can look at this world and we can turn on the news and we can see how this world is broken and messed up and poor decisions, and we can see heartache and sorrow and murder, and we can see all these things, and it can depress us, and we can get overwhelmed at times. It can be very overwhelming, but here's what we want to encourage you with this series. Man, draw in to the one. One. The importance of one. You know, many times we can think, we view this one as insignificant or not important, but man, the one in your life is significant to the Lord. And is important to the Lord. What if each person in this room today, over the course of the next months, over the course of the next year, earnestly and strategically and was driven to pray and to connect with the person that God is putting on your life? What if each one of us pursued that, and each one of us saw the one in our life transformed by the gospel? What would our church look like? Not that we're trying to build a mega church, because we're not. We're not. This is not some pyramid scheme, all right? I'm not up here trying to motivate you to bring, you know, to, all right, we got to build the church, so, because we need people here and we need these things, so each person bring two, and then those, each one of those people bring two, and it's just this scheme. But here's our desire, not that we would have a mega church, but that we would see lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and eternity change for that person. Here's the amazing thing about God. Thank you. God bless you. Now, if I can talk with this thing in my mouth. Here's the amazing thing about God. He uses simple, ordinary people like you and like me. God uses ordinary people like you and like me. Jesus called ordinary people to accomplish his purpose. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. We've looked at how Jesus called some of the disciples. We've looked at how Jesus, how a group of friends brought their friend that was paralyzed to meet Jesus. Just ordinary people that weren't even named. It was just a group of friends. They weren't even named in the scriptures. Ordinary people God uses to accomplish his purpose. So John chapter 1, let's read verse 35. Let's begin there. Verse 35. It says, "In the next day, again, John." And let me say this. This is not the disciple John here. If we read begin earlier, we find out that this is John the Baptist, the one that was sent to kind of lay out and to boldly proclaim the coming of the Messiah. Okay? So it says, "And the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples." Okay? He had some followers. We talked about that. You know, every Jewish male had this desire to have a rabbi or a teacher that they followed, right? We talked about that the first week. So he has two of his disciples with him. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. Catch verse 40. I'm going to have to spit this thing out. Man, I have, like, not very professional here today, am I? But it's hard to talk. And anyway, it says verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, or small stone. Okay, so we see here the story of, in greater detail than we read earlier in the book of Matthew, we see this story in greater detail of Andrew and Peter. Okay, brothers. Well, what do we know? Here's the thing. We know a lot about Peter, right? He was one of the highlighted disciples. We see many things in Scripture with Peter, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Andrew is his brother, doesn't get mentioned as much in Scripture. Doesn't. We don't know a ton about him according to what the Scripture says. We know a little bit from church history. But we don't know much about Andrew, but we do know about his brother, the disciple Peter, right? Or some of the things that we remember about Peter. Peter was the one that was able to get out of the boat and walk on water to Jesus before he began to take his eyes off Jesus and begin to sink. Right? Pretty amazing story. Right? After, I'm sure, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I'm sure there were times when the disciples would get together and Peter would share that story, right? Yeah, but I was the one that got out of the boat. I was the one that got to walk on the water. Pretty cool. They're like, yeah, but you sank. But yeah, but I walked for a little bit. It's pretty awesome. He was also this outspoken guy, and he spoke a lot of times before he thought. Okay? Whose mouth gets him in trouble a lot of times, right? Yeah. Yeah. We know this because Peter, when Jesus was in the garden the night before his crucifixion and he was arrested, what does Peter do to the guys trying to arrest Jesus? You remember? Cut his ear off. Yeah. How cool is that, right? Whips his knife out and cuts the guy's ear off. Jesus says, whoa, 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 simmer down, Peter. And he heals the man's ear. He picks his ear up, puts it back on, right? That's even cooler. Yeah. Then we know when we read the book of Acts and when the Holy Spirit indwells those disciples after Jesus ascends into heaven, Peter preaches. And a few thousand people put their faith and trust in Jesus. How exciting is that? Man, the church just explodes onto the scene, man. I love the Apostle Peter. I love him. Love to hear him. And not only that, but man, we can look at his life and how it was drastically changed at the crucifixion of Christ and how he did what Jesus said he would do. He denied him. And then later he boldly proclaims him all the way to the point at the end of his life. He was willing to die for the sake of Jesus to the point where church history tells us that Peter said that they were going to crucify him. And he says, I'm not good enough to be crucified like my Savior. And he asked to be crucified upside down. Man, what happened? What changed in Peter's life? And it was the power of God. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. He was an eyewitness to a resurrected Savior. We know also that before his death, he was one of the leaders there of the church. Specifically there in Jerusalem. He was a leader. People looked up to him. They knew about him. They knew he had walked alongside Jesus. But Andrew doesn't get mentioned as much. Andrew wasn't mentioned as much. But what do we see here in the text? I'm going to read verse 40 again. And it says, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew. Okay, he gets mentioned. And Simon Peter was his brother. So we see there, they're brothers. Verse 41, it says, and he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Andrew had identified the one in his life that needed to meet the Messiah, needed to meet the Christ. And what does he do? He immediately goes to his brother and he's like, you've got to meet the Messiah. You need to meet the Savior. You need to meet him. You need to come on. He brought him to Jesus. Andrew was a great example of someone used to bring others to the Lord. I've got a question real quick. Who has ever heard of the name Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball. Okay, no, I don't see a single hand. I know these lights are bright. And here's the thing. You're like, should I know? I'm in church. You know, should I know? No, you probably shouldn't know this person, okay? But now let me ask another question. This is a little bit one. I would say the majority of us know this person, have heard of this name anyway, don't know him personally, but Billy Graham. Who's heard of Billy Graham? Right? You can raise your hand in church. Billy Graham obviously passed away a few years ago, but man, was a great evangelist in the 20th century. Man, just a great evangelist all over the world. People say that he preached the gospels face-to-face to people in these huge crusades to more people than any other person in this earth had preached the gospel. I mean, thousands upon thousands would come hear Billy Graham preach. They would hear him preach. So you might be sitting here asking, well, what does this man of the name Edward Kimball mean? Why is he significant? Why would you mention Edward Kimball? Well, if we take a step back from Billy Graham, Edward Kimball was a man that led a man by the name of D.L. Moody. Okay, maybe you've heard of D.L. Moody. It's a little bit more familiar, the name. He has a Bible Institute named after him that he began in Chicago, Illinois, Moody Bible Institute. There's also a printing company, Moody Press, that prints religious information and books. Let me tell you something. Edward Kimball led D.L. Moody to the Lord when D.L. Moody was a young man. He was around 15 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And he was far from the gospel. And Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. You know, you remember Sunday school? I know a lot of churches don't do Sunday school. I know we don't because we just don't have the capability of doing that. But, man, he was this Sunday school teacher. I grew up going to Sunday school. Little church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Edward Kimball was this Sunday school teacher of this class of boys. And he got wind of this man named D.L. Moody. Okay? He got the name. And he was, the testimony says that Kimball was scared to go talk to D.L. Moody because of his reputation. But the God had put D.L. Moody on Kimball's heart. And he reached out and he, in fear, went and shared the gospel with D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody became a Christian. D.L. Moody started a Bible Institute, preached to thousands upon thousands of people. Many lives were transformed by the gospel. One of those lives that were transformed by the gospel was a man named Chapman. Wilbur Chapman was led to the Lord by Moody. Chapman had a great ministry preaching. Chapman's ministry, as he preached, led this man by the name of Billy Sunday. He was a baseball player. And he led Billy Sunday to the Lord. Maybe some of these names are starting to ring a bell. Maybe you've heard these names mentioned before. If not, don't feel bad. And Billy Sunday was led to the Lord through Chapman's preaching. And Billy Sunday began to preach and go out and tell. And this man named of Mordecai Ham was saved through this ministry. And Mordecai Ham started doing these crusades. And through Mordecai Ham, Billy Graham put his faith as a young man in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And let me tell you something. I'm not here to put any man on a pedestal. But man, God greatly used men like the ones that we just mentioned. They weren't perfect. But man, God greatly used these individuals to proclaim the gospel. And where did it start? Where did it start? Started with Edward Kimball, little Sunday school teacher that no one remembers in church history unless we do the hard work and work our way back to it. no place is his. Is there a plaque or a statue made in Kimball's honor? But it was because of God putting one person on his heart. And he worked up the boldness to go tell this person the gospel. That man, God used greatly to impact our world as we know it. God used greatly. Now, could God use somebody else? Did it have to be Edward Kimball? Absolutely. God can do whatever he wants. But here's the thing. I hope it's your desire today to be used like God used these men. You know, we must be willing to be used and also to serve not only the Lord, but to serve those around us. If we look at Mark chapter 9, I'll throw the scripture real quick. We're going to read one verse in Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And he sat down and called the 12, Jesus did. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." You know, those of you that volunteer here at Grace Point, whether that's doing setup, whether that's on our praise team, whether that's running tech, whether that's teaching our children or serving in other capacities, whether that's greeting somebody that walks in, whether that's coming and serving at an event like we're going to do here in a few weeks, you are serving those that are coming to hear the gospel. Let me tell you something. It's tough to sit back in some of our classrooms sometimes. Okay? It is. And that's a special calling with little ones. It's tough. It's not always easy. But let me tell you something. Those of you that are teachers that are sitting in here this morning, man, you're ministering not only to those little hearts and minds back there, but man, you're ministering to maybe a single mom or a mom and a dad or whatever that may be, grandparent that showed up. Man, you're ministering to them so they can sit and hear the preaching of the word and be encouraged. And maybe they're far from God and maybe God is drawing them towards a relationship with him. And don't ever think that your service doesn't matter, because it does. It does. And chances are none of us in here will ever have a plaque with our name on it. But here's the thing. We serve a God. We serve a God that is holy and righteous and all-knowing and all-powerful and loving. Here's the next thing we must understand, that Jesus can use anyone. Turn to a familiar story in the Gospel of John again. We'll turn to chapter 6, and we're going to read a story that all of you have either read, heard preached, or just heard referenced, okay? We're going to read a very familiar story in the text. Let's go ahead and pick it up. We're going to read the complete story. John chapter 6, let's read and start in verse 1 there. This is where Jesus feeds the multitude. It says, "And after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick." So let me tell you something. We see this is a familiar story. Multitudes of people were attracted to Jesus when he began his earthly ministry. They wanted to come and see what he was going to do next. They just were mesmerized by what he was doing and saying. And man, they just wanted to be there and see and hear every word that he said. Verse 3, it says, "And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now, let me tell you something. A few thousand people are following him around. They're out in the middle of nowhere. There is no place for these people to go, okay? All right? Who's ever been on a road trip? And I've been in some places that are pretty sketchy and, like, you don't know where anything is. Look, you know, praise God that we now have technology or phones and it's a little easier. But back before phones, you know, you just relied on, I mean, man, our faith had to be huge sometimes because we're in new territory. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And you're like, man, I'm running low on gas, right? Right? Who's ever drove maybe even out west, right? I've never done that, but man, I could imagine. And if you heard other people talk about it, it's kind of, you just go for hundreds of miles sometimes without seeing anything but like tumbleweeds, right? Well, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They don't know, they don't have access to food, and it's thousands of people. Jesus asked Philip. He says, Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Jesus said that, testing him, according to verse 6. Philip's response is, ma'am, even if we had 200 denarii, if we had enough money to buy this amount of bread, it still wouldn't even be enough. This is a big group of people. Big group. Verse 8, it says, and one of his disciples, Andrew, okay, we see Andrew again here, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples to gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 loaves, barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that had been done, they said, this indeed the prophet who is to come in the world, into the world. Here's the thing I want you to know from this story. Jesus can use anyone. Who does he use in this story? He uses a little boy, right? With a po' boy, all right? Little boy with a catfish po' boy. That's basically what it was. It was enough for this little boy that he had brought for himself because he wanted to hear and see Jesus, and he thought, I better take a lunch with me. Okay? This little boy. Here's the beautiful thing about Andrew. Andrew here didn't overlook the little boy in his lunch, right? He didn't. He brought him to Jesus. You want to use him, Jesus? Here's what he has to offer. There's a lot of things I can apply from this story, and I'm sure you can too. Me personally, man, sometimes I feel like that little boy and his lunch. And I don't have much to offer. I don't have much to offer, man. Maybe you can really relate to that. Jesus uses this small insignificant to accomplish his will and purpose on this earth. God can use you. God wants to use you. And I hope you get just fired up by that. Okay? Not that I'm trying to boost your ego, because some of us don't need any help with that. But what I am telling you today, that God wants to use you, and He can use you. Maybe you're here, though, and you're sitting here thinking, I'm not much. You know, let me tell you, that's great. God will receive the glory for how He uses you. Can I tell you a quick story? Man, a few years ago, it's been about probably 6 or 7 now, we sat here, we're living in Destrehan. We moved here a little over 8 years ago, I remember laying in bed one night after we put our kids to bed, and I remember talking with my wife and just thinking, man, what are we doing? How is this ever going to happen? I remember thinking like that. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I have no idea. I know You've called me to plant a church in this community, and I want to remain faithful, and I'm doing my best to remain faithful so it brings You glory, and I'm going to do my best. And I just be totally transparent, I was willing to fail. God, I'm willing to fail. I don't want to fail, but I'm willing to fail. And I remember talking with my wife and just sitting there thinking, man, I don't have much. I don't have a lot to offer. But man, when God moves, I said, Cassie, when God moves and He begins to build and grow His church, man, we are going to know exactly who did it, because we had nothing to offer. We didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea. God receives the glory through the things that we, the little things we can't offer, our little lunch like this little boy. It's small and insignificant, but God can use it and do miraculous things, to do things like we're done in this story, to do things that were recorded here in the Gospel of John. That thousands of people were fed. And so much that there were 12 baskets left over, and people were just in amazement. Finally, last, everyone can tell one person about Jesus. Let me tell you something. You don't have to have all the perfect words. You don't have to have it all the answers, because that's the biggest fear with most people in sharing the gospel. I got to know all the answers. What if they hit me with this? That's a good one. And we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have everything right. I think we should work, begin to study and grow and know some answers. But man, it shouldn't stop us from telling how the gospel has transformed our life. In John chapter 12, last passage we'll read this morning. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 22, it says this. It says, "And now among these who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks." Okay? They weren't Jewish. They were these outsiders, these Greeks. And it says, "And so these Greeks came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee," or Bethsaida, "and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Man, I love when people ask that. I'll tell you, man, I'm like, I love when people pursue me to find out about Jesus. Man, that's awesome, and that does happen at times. Man, somebody goes through something hard, they know you're a believer, man, they come to you. They're like, this person seems to have something different. They must have some sort of hope that I need. And these Greeks, they come up to Philip. They say, "We wish to see Jesus. We want to meet Jesus." Verse 22, it says, "And Philip went and told Andrew." There's Andrew again. Why did Philip go to Andrew? Because Andrew had taken people to Jesus. He had introduced people to Jesus. And Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Here's the thing, guys, as we wrap up, Andrew was known as one that could introduce people to Jesus. Here's the thing, I want to be known as that. I hope you do. I want to be known as that. I want to be known as somebody that wants to meet Jesus and don't know how. Man, they want to come find and talk to me. Not just because I'm a pastor, but because of how my relationship with the Lord is and the testimony that I carry in this community. Andrew was known as the one that would introduce people to Jesus. How awesome would it be if you were known by the people around you as someone that could introduce others to Jesus? When those around you came to you when they were struggling and when they were searching for hope, and you could share the hope that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, you know, this world needs more Andrews that wasn't worried about his name being known, but the name of Jesus being made known to a lost and dying world. I hope that's your desire today. I hope that's the challenge that you get. Let's stop trying to make ourselves known, and let's start making Jesus known. Let's stop trying to make ourselves look good and put ourselves in these positions, and let's start putting Jesus in positions where he looks good. So people won't be drawn to our personality and because we're a good person, but they would be drawn to Jesus because Jesus is just beaming out in our life. Will you take this challenge that we have shared over the past 5 Sundays and share the hope that you have found in Jesus with your one? Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so thankful for this church. And Lord, I'm so thankful for how you've built it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you this morning through the time that we've spent, Lord, that your name has been magnified, that you have been glorified, your son Jesus has been lifted up. And Lord, I pray as we sing here in just a moment, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the words that we will sing, Lord, would just magnify your name. Lord God, I pray, Lord, as we sit here, Lord, I pray that you challenge those that are here that do have a relationship with you, God. Lord, I pray that you challenge them to live a life different. They would live a life that was driven and focused about the gospel and how it interweaves throughout our life and how it's needs to be shared with the people around us. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just do great things through our people, Lord. I pray, Lord, also, Lord, I don't know the people's hearts in this room. God, I know my own heart, but I don't know anybody else's heart. I don't know where they are at with you, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, there's a person here that would say, I need Jesus more than anything else, and I've been looking for a long time for something, and I haven't found it. And today I believe that the Holy Spirit is drawing me towards a relationship with the God that laid out his life on a cross for my sin. And Lord, I pray just now in this moment, Lord, if there's a person in this room that would say, I need Jesus more than anything else, I pray and right now in this moment that they would, with their own heart, with their own mind, with their just in their own prayer, Lord, that they would just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Become Lord of my life. I invite you into my life to save me, to transform me, to change me. And God, I want to serve and follow you. Lord, the scripture says that with the heart one believes and with the mouth one confesses. Lord, I pray now in this moment if there's a person here that needs to put their faith and trust in you, that they would do it right now in this moment. So that anything I say for them, something that they do on their own, in their own hearts, their own lives. And scripture says that Jesus is faithful to save you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory through whatever's done and said, Lord. Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. As we